Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
For me personally, when I think about completing that sentence, because the tomb is empty, a song comes to my mind, and it's the classic old Easter hymn, Because He Lives. And there's a line in that song that says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, all fear is gone. And so that's how I would complete that sentence myself, is because the tomb is empty, all fear is gone. And we are living in a time right now where there's a lot of fear and anxiety around us. I mean, there's many people that are fearful of the virus itself, of getting the virus, especially those who are a little bit more vulnerable. And even for me and my family, I have to say, we have a newborn baby at home, and I'd be lying if we weren't if I said that our house was fear-free right now. We're not living in fear, but we just know that there are risks there for our little baby especially. And some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not fearful. You know, I'm healthy. I'm not afraid of getting the virus, and that's good for you. And some of you might be saying, well, I might be even more vulnerable. But I'm not afraid either, because I know that I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior, and whatever happens to me, I know where I'm spending eternity. And that's wonderful for you as well. But the reality is that there's a lot of fear and anxiety out there, and many people are facing a different type of fear. They might be asking the question, am I going to get my next paycheck? Or will I be able to make ends meet? Am I going to meet next month's rent? Or maybe, what are things going to look like a year from now? What's the economy going to look like? Or some of you, maybe the teachers out there, some of you are worried about your students, and maybe you're thinking of certain students that have a rough home life, and they're forced during this time to be at home more and around their family and potentially in dangerous situations. Maybe some of you are concerned for elderly people, especially ones that are alone and isolated. And maybe this whole pandemic is very hard on their mental health, having to stay away from people and to be isolated and alone. Well, I want to say today that whatever fear or anxiety you're facing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. And something that you might not have realized as you think of the resurrection account in Scripture is that the day that Jesus rose from the dead was a day that was filled with fear. The disciples were afraid. The two Marys that went to the tomb that morning, they were afraid. In fact, through all four gospel accounts of the resurrection, I added up, counted 10 times where there's reference to fear or being afraid. But what I want us to remember and know this Easter morning is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead removes all fear. Because the tomb is empty, all fear is gone. And for you, if it's not gone already, it can be gone. And what I want to look at today with you as we look at this account of the resurrection are three facts that remove all fear. When we're in fearful situations, it's often facts that reassure us. And it's the facts that we learn and know that help us to not be afraid and to not fear. And the first fact that we see is that Jesus is faithful to his promises. And maybe some of you right now even are thinking, well, I don't know if I can trust God. And we often feel that way sometimes. We've looked back and we know that God has been faithful in the past. His steadfast love never ends. We read that over and over again in Scripture. His love never fails. But sometimes we reach a point too where we kind of wonder, God, I'm just not sure. I've seen you do miracles and signs and wonders in the past, but during this current crisis, all these unknowns that are ahead, I'm just not sure if I can trust you. Amidst all the chaos and all the confusion and all the mixed information out there, maybe you're asking, who can I trust? Who's telling the truth? And God, are you really here? Are you with us? And are you faithful? Can I trust you? I want you to imagine for a moment how the women felt as they went to the tomb early that morning. Remember, everything they had seen Jesus do, all the signs and miracles that they had seen him perform, and then just a few days before they go back to the tomb, they watched as Jesus was crucified, as he hung on the cross. I would imagine that for them, all hope was gone. They were entrenched in sadness. Imagine how confused they must have felt. Maybe asking the question, who is this Jesus? Who was this Jesus? Was Jesus really who he said he was? I want to read Matthew 28, verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. So they go to the tomb in this hopeless state, this confused state. And then, to add to their confusion, the stone is rolled away from the tomb. But immediately, it says, an angel spoke to them. Verse 5, it says, but the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. It's the important part to note there. Just as he said. See, Jesus had been telling his disciples all along what was going to happen to him. And he even told them three times on three different occasions what they were going to do, what was going to happen when they went to Jerusalem that week. And one example of this, Matthew 17, verse 22, it says, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And that is exactly what happened. And sometimes we can point our fingers at the women and at the disciples that were there that first resurrection day. And we can point fingers at them and say, how did you not understand? How did you miss that? Don't you remember what Jesus said? Why are you acting so surprised about all of this? But at the same time, we can do the same. We can forget the bigger picture of what God is doing. And God is working in ways that we don't even know and that we can't even comprehend. Earlier this week, my little daughter, Gracia, she's 4 years old, she asked if I would put a puzzle together with her. And so I said, sure. It was my day off and finally got around to doing puzzles like a bunch of other people that are in quarantine right now. And so she went and got the puzzle and she brought it out. And it was about a 100-piece puzzle, and it was a Hello Kitty puzzle. So I can proudly say I've put together a Hello Kitty puzzle. But as we were putting that puzzle together and just getting started, we weren't too far in, and I was a little confused. I thought, man, why is this puzzle so hard to put together? There's only 100 pieces here. It shouldn't be that hard. And then I realized that we didn't actually have the picture of the puzzle that we were putting together. We didn't have the box. Normally you look at a box when you're the front of a box when you're putting a puzzle together, and you see the picture of the puzzle that you're putting together. And we didn't have that picture. All the pieces to that puzzle we were putting together were in a Ziploc bag. And that's when I realized that I was putting together this puzzle when I didn't even have the picture to look at. Eventually we figured it out, and she had put the puzzle together before, and it all came together, and we got that puzzle put together. But it reminded me of the bigger picture of what God has done and what God is continuing to do. And sometimes God is very clear, like he was with the disciples, of what is going to happen and what his plans are. And he spelled it out for them. And they had the bigger picture of the puzzle to put together. But then there's other times where we don't see exactly the picture of what God is doing. But we can trust him and know that there is a picture. There is a bigger picture of what God is doing behind the scenes. And that's what we can trust right now in this global pandemic and all the fears and anxieties that people are facing, all the unknowns that are ahead. That as believers in Jesus Christ, his promises are true. And God tells us that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And so we continue to go forth and trust in God's good for us. The promises of Jesus are true. And Jesus keeps his promises. He is alive just as he said. And because of that, our fears can be gone. The second fact that we see is that Jesus removes your guilt and forgives your failures. Now, I would imagine that the disciples were probably feeling pretty guilty the day of the resurrection. Think about the women that ran. They were running to go tell the disciples what they had heard and seen at the tomb. These disciples that were probably feeling pretty guilty about themselves because they had deserted Jesus just a few days before that, at the time that he was arrested. They deserted him. Even after telling him that they would never leave him, they left Jesus all alone. The women ran to go tell the disciples what they had seen and what they had heard at the tomb. In Matthew 28, 9 and 10, it says, "And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" I want you to notice that the very first thing that Jesus tells the women, he says, "Do not be afraid." And then the next thing he tells them is what to say to the disciples. And I want you to notice two things here. First, notice how he refers to the disciples. He calls them brothers. Do you know how Jesus could have referred to the disciples? He could have told the women, he could have said, "Go tell those liars to meet me in Galilee. You know those coward disciples who deserted me the night that I was arrested? Even after they said that they would never leave me, they would never desert me, even if they had to die for me." But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus calls them brothers. He longs to restore his relationship with them. He longs to forgive them. And he longs to meet them and see them in Galilee. He says, "And there they will see me." Now, I don't know about you, but I know for me that when I've wronged someone, or when I'm feeling guilt about what I've done to another person, or if I've hurt someone, I know for me, all I want to do is avoid that person. I don't really even want to see that person. And then when I do see that person, there's a lot of emotions that well up within me. Often it's fear and anxiety, usually wondering, what is that person thinking of me? What kind of rotten person do they think that I am? But what did Jesus think of the disciples? Jesus was anxious to see them. He couldn't wait to forgive them and reassure them. He couldn't wait to see them and to declare to them, I've died on the cross for your sins and I've conquered sin and death when I rose again from the dead. All of your sins are forgiven. You do not have to feel any guilt. I have removed all fear and guilt. And Jesus says the same to each one of us. Jesus says the same to you, that all fear is gone because your sin is removed. In fact, Psalm 103:12 puts it this way. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Jesus removes your guilt and forgives your failures. Second fact. And finally, the third fact that removes all fear is that Jesus brings peace in all circumstances. I want you to go with me to John chapter 20. John 20 is another account of the resurrection in the Gospels. In John 20, starting at verse 19, it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now I find these circumstances kind of interesting, especially given our current circumstances, this stay-at-home order. The disciples, they kind of had to do something similar to what we're doing on that first Easter. It was kind of their version of stay safe at home. They were staying indoors, and they had kept the doors locked. There was just a small group of them, a group that probably considered each other family. But they were isolated because of a different type of danger. And it was a different kind of fear. It says, for fear of the Jews. Now, I don't blame them. After what they saw the Jewish leaders do to Jesus, and then now with Jesus' body missing, they're probably sitting in there thinking, what's next? What's coming next? And that's kind of how we find ourselves right now. The fear is out there. The anxiety is out there, whether you're fearful or not. And if it's not fear about catching the virus itself, it's all the anxiety that comes along with it, from the panic and the unknowns that are ahead. The very first time that Jesus sees the disciples after he is raised from the dead, his very first words were this, peace be with you. And I heard someone talking about fear recently and how often it's mentioned in Scripture, how many times we're commanded, do not fear, do not be afraid. And this person was just kind of reflecting on this idea that, you know, when we're afraid and another person simply says, oh, don't be afraid, don't be scared, it doesn't really help. Because how can someone just simply stop being afraid? They were saying that it's kind of like when you're sad and somebody wants you to laugh or wants you to smile and they say, oh, come on, just laugh. it doesn't just happen. We have to have a reason to laugh. Somebody has to say something funny or tell a funny joke or make a funny face. And it's similar with fear. Our fears only go away when we know the facts, when we have a reason for those fears to subside. When God tells us over and over again in Scripture to not be afraid, the reason is because of who He is. And because He is faithful, and because He is with us, and because He is true to His promises. And Jesus tells each one of us, whatever we're facing, in any circumstances we find ourselves in, He says, "Peace be with you." And that's what He says. But notice also what Jesus does. What does Jesus do in John chapter 20? When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then listen to this. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And in our fear and in the unknowns that we face, we too can look at the hands and the side of Jesus. And we can know for a fact that He went to the cross to forgive us of our sins. And we can know for a historical fact that Jesus was raised from the dead and that He lives now. And because of those facts, we can have peace in all circumstances. And because the tomb is empty, all fear is gone. All fear is gone. Let's pray. God, we thank You that we can trust You. That in this time of uncertainty, even on this Easter Sunday when things are so different than what we're used to, we thank You that You can be trusted. And that no matter what our circumstances are, the message of Easter is still the same, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again to conquer sin and death and the power of the devil. I pray that that would be our hope today, that we would walk in faith and in trust of who You are. God, that You, by Your resurrection power, would remove any fear, any anxiety, any doubt in our minds. We thank You and praise You that Jesus is alive. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.